Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Please stand by while we have some technical difficulties. You said rude.
The Cubby House Podcast with Cookie.
And Ryan.
And we do have our special guest first this week to replace Jack for this week and this week only. Hello, previously sworn in, Spotty.
Hola.
How are ya?
Good, how are you guys?
Welcome to the dungeon.
It's not very black or leathery or
God,
sweet.
You're so racist.
Well, you know, you can't call whiteboards anymore in the UK.
Okay.
It's racist.
You're racist.
Can't have blackboards as blackboards either. Random.
What are they, African-American boards or what?
No, they're just chalkboards.
All right.
You can't have a colour.
So what's a whiteboard
racist.
Then? Ink board? A magic marker board?
It's just a board, apparently. Or
something. Okay.
Now, Jack is away this week in... Yeah. Tasmania, where all the yobbos, we believe, come from, for those of us who are in the mainland Australia. Hope you're having fun, Jack. But for this week, we're going to be doing a couple of topics. First of all, we've been having a bit of fun prior to coming to the mics, talking about our childhood characters, and where are they now?
Rainbow Bright, she's in rehab, seventh time, crystal meth.
Also, we've got a bit of etiquette. We're talking about how to approach someone in a bar.
And also, how you deal with those troubling Christmas times. Presents and parties.
All that to come on the Cubby House this week.
Cookie, childhood characters. What were your favourite sort of, you know, TV shows and things like that you used to remember as a kid or figurines you used to collect or whatever?
I used to collect a lot of Transformers. And I don't know if it was just the fact of it was part of my growing up, but I used to be into Care Bears. Hello. Yeah, come on. I'm gay.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
It does. It does.
Bears and the most homosexual show, even worse than Are You Being Served?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
What colour was your favourite, just out of curiosity?
Or which one, if you can remember their names?
If I can remember, it'd be Lionheart, if I remember rightly.
The lion?
The lion with the heart, yeah. Yeah.
The lion with the heart.
The only one that wasn't a bear.
No, there was other ones. I used to get into Care Bears too as a kid.
Hmm. My gosh, you guys are gay.
Get out of our dungeon, biatch.
So I used to watch it too.
Right, so what we'd like to think is now that we're grown up and we can fantasize a little bit more about...
Well, we're older, I wouldn't say we're grown up.
Yeah, I'm just bigger.
Yeah.
Well, all right, yes. Yeah.
More rotund, yes.
You leave my rotunda out of this, all right? We 21 years to build that shit.
Where do you think our cartoon heroes would be now? And who would they be with? What would they be doing?
Well, if you look at all the characters on Sesame Street, for example, like 99% of them would be in rehab. You've got like Big Bird, who's, I swear he was on weed because he was all like, hello tree, hello flower.
And apparently he was the only one that could see Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, exactly. What's that all about?
So he must have been tripping on something hardcore to see a big hairy elephant.
And he must have been like on smack where he's like, hey, bird. He just smoked some smack, bird.
So what was Oscar on? He was always grumpy. So come on, what was he on?
He was always coming
rag.
Down.
I don't know.
He was always coming down from something. He never had quite enough money to buy big doses. So it was only small doses at a time.
That's why he was always rummaging through the bins going, just one more syringe, damn it. Just one more syringe. And you got Cookie Monster who, that's pretty self-explanatory. And I think the count was like a pimp.
Yes.
God, who else is there? Elmo, my God. Like the most famous
ecstasy.
Ranger there is. Yeah, he was on ecstasy. He loved everything. Mm. So, yeah.
Can't go past Bert and Ernie.
Well, crystal meth.
I would have said poppers myself.
Or both.
Mm.
No, I would have thought they'd just be somewhere in Club 80 now. One, I don't know, Bert would be in a sling and Ernie would be like, do you like that, Bert? You like that fist, don't you, Bert?
Okay, moving away from Sesame Street. What about, I don't know, He-Man?
Totally having a relationship with Optimus Prime. It's my opinion.
Wow.
It's his life
Where
partner.
Did that come from?
Yeah, come on.
Well, you know, he has the power. He can make things big. And Optimus Prime's pretty big. He looks like he likes it a bit rough.
I hope he's a bottom. God, that would hurt.
Some people are into that type of stuff.
Oh, I can imagine when he gets an erection, it goes... Ju-ju-ju-ju-ju.
It's actually a vagina, but when it transforms, it's a big penis.
Yeah, or when he's like about to come. I'm close. Ju-ju-ju-ju-ju.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Okay. I hope they include this in the nearest Transformers movie that's coming out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, He-Man pops along. Sweetie, I have dinner ready. Stop playing with the Decepticons. Now, Megatron, I told you, if you put that in there again, you're going to get a syphilis.
You're going to get a syphilis.
Well, they're of, you know, robot race. They get one syphilis. It's like a virus. I have an A virus. I don't have to fucking impress you, Ryan.
Right.
Sailor Moon. Do we know Sailor Moon?
Dude, last time you saw her, episode 200, she was naked fighting the big bad. So you so know she's at a strip joint, working her busted ass for as many dollars she can get.
So we'll see her at Kittens or, you know.
Oh, no. She's not that high class.
Spearmint Rhino or something.
That lower.
Oh. Well, you're saying Kittens? She's not as high class for that? That's Frankston.
Yeah, I know.
No. I've got crickets. Yeah.
That spawned this whole conversation, boys
and
girls.
What about the chipmunks?
Who, Chip and Dale?
Thank you, Chip and Dale.
Oh, the Rescue Rangers.
Thank you, the Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
They must be, like, dead now. They spoke so fast and so high, they must have been on shit 24/7. You know, you see that ugly blonde rat thing that was, like, involved in one of them, crying at their grave every Saturday morning.
Well, she was smoking a pipe full of ice.
That too.
The old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They probably got fat and died from cholesterol poisoning from eating too much pizza. Or they couldn't get out of the sewer because their shells grew too big because they grew out of teenagehood.
Yeah, I was thinking like fluoride poisoning, yep.
They just bashed the fuck out of each other because they kept on going radical cowabunga and there's only so many times you can actually listen to that shit without retaliating in some non-violent way.
Mm. They were so... doing stuff with the rat. He was always around them. Oh, boys, come here. Yeah,
he wasn't well hung. I mean, his name was Splinter, for crying out loud.
Well, maybe that's why he was going after the turtles. He wanted their...
Because they didn't run. they were slow.
There was four of them, and he was a very big bottom.
So what would happen to Shredder?
Shredder...
He's probably got his own cooking show or something.
Dude, he dressed in purple. He's definitely got a cooking show.
He's got some sort of, you know, like, I don't know. You'll see him on late night television with his, like, instead of a Foreman grill, it'll be like some sort of cheese grater. The Shredder's Shredder or something. I don't know.
He's like the late night gay Martha Stewart.
Okay, Hanna-Barbera characters. Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
Boo Boo.
Boo Boo probably would have topped himself because I know that if I had been called Boo Boo as a child, that's what I would have done.
I always found it really odd because I always saw Boo Boo as like a child and Yogi as an adult. And they kind of slept in one bed and it was just...
Yeah, but I mean,
Look
at Shaggy and Scooby. They did the same thing and that's a dog and a human. And I don't mean like...
And it was in the Mystery Machine. Come on.
And I don't mean it was like, you know, Scooby slept at the foot of the bed. They did stuff.
How many times did he jump into Shaggy's arms and they looked lovingly into each other's eyes and they're like, oh shit, people are around.
Yeah.
Get down, Scooby. I'll give you a snack later.
There's only, you know, you can only get so horned up after hearing over and over again.
Maybe that was his fetish.
Oh, maybe.
Wow.
So what about one of the bearish adult Hanna-Barbera characters like Fred Flintstone? He was a bear.
Oh, yeah.
What's he doing? Is he off? Did he split up with... Wilmer and onto Barney now?
No, never split up. He just secretly went to glory holes at toilets every weekend, secretly giving his wife anything that he came across. And you'd probably find Barney at Club 80.
Well, the thing is, I always thought the whole four of them were just a whole, like, swingers club. Like, they were over each other's house every night.
True.
Wilmer and Betty.
But, I mean, they had all those dinosaurs at the ready to do anything that they needed. So...
Yeah, kind of like a whole kinky... domination sort of thing going on there?
Maybe.
I reckon Betty dominated Wilma, mainly because Betty actually had eyes, not just black dots.
So because she has eyes, she's a dominatrix.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wilma had the whole pearl necklace, so that's really good collar for the time.
Mm.
Well, a pearl necklace. Just leave it at that, shall we?
Mm. Yeah, Wilmot was definitely the bottom bitch.
Oh, I just thought of something. Lisa from The Simpsons, she has a pearl necklace. Oh, that is so wrong. Oh, and I'm Marge's not, is red. Ew. Oh. Some Matt groaning, shame, shame, shame.
And that's well bad.
Well, if you go to the next season of Futurama, and you had Leela, who has the one eye.
Right.
Think of a facial. Ah, I'm blind. Flag, all right, fine.
Well bad.
Yeah.
What about Captain Planet? He's still popular.
Funnily enough, Captain Planet only appears when five other kids come together.
Ew.
And he's silver and wearing green Speedos.
Captain Planet has a green mullet, so he's absolutely straight. He just needs like a flannelette shirt. Or lesbian lingerie, if you prefer to call it that. But do you think there was things going on with the other... Like, what's... You know, did Wheeler really cop off with Linka, do you think, Scott?
Him and that Russian bird, they're definitely living in a trailer park right now. 7 or 8 kids. Wheeler's going, "Shut up, bitch!" That was a bit loud, I'm sorry. Marty's probably... emo right now, sitting alone, asking why no one likes him. Could be because he had a really, really bad ring. Who gave a shit about Hart? What did he accomplish?
But what happened?
I will ask the animals. Fuck off. We don't care about the animals.
What happened to his monkey?
Yeah, I don't know.
It went off and appeared in Friends and the Outbreak film. And...
yeah, the monkey, like, his career started in Captain Planet. You know, it took off after that. He's one of the highest paid monkeys in business. Yes, business. Show business. Business.
Mm.
I think Guy...
Not monkey business, obviously.
I think Guy, the Asian chick, I think she did like cameos in such films such as like the Asian lady in Dude, Where's My Car? With the whole and then thing. Mm. That was Guy.
She was also one of the math nerds in a movie you have never seen because it never got published. That's how big her career is.
Oh, right. Okay. And
what was the African guy's name?
Kwame. Oh,
Kwame.
He's really RuPaul.
He does drag acts in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So I think we've pretty much covered most of the ones that spring to mind when we think of cartoon characters, and where are they now?
Well, you know, I think of cartoons and of course my heart immediately goes straight to Zangief. And yeah.
Wow.
And he would be in my bed if he was real. Yes, he would.
You guys are odd.
Zangief, hello. Do you not know who he is?
Street Fighter?
Yeah. Street Fighter never really did it for me.
Get out.
I was more Mortal Kombat, because it was
well,
blood.
Then Kano.
Hmm.
Mm, I suppose. Maybe.
Sorry. Go back to Splinter. He was all hairy and stuff. And he wore a robe. Easy access.
But he was a rat.
So? He could do stuff with his tail.
Ew.
Is that flaggable, you reckon?
No.
Mm,
flag.
Whatever. Flag. No. No, I am funny. You get a life.
I'm going to flag you just for that.
No.
Yeah.
You can't when you laugh. Okay. You can't laugh and go, that's bad.
We're laughing at you. Not with you. At you.
Fine. I'm taking my little key ring and going home.
You do that, you Mario lover.
You're a Mario lover. Well, hello. Mario's one of the biggest bears of all. Do you think he got it on with his... First of all, I just want to say, Mario... Like, why did his parents call him Mario when his surname was Mario as well?
I know a kid at high school. His name was, well, primary school, actually. His name was Mustafa. So it happens.
So his parents were lame, too.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
But did he have his very own video game? I don't think so.
Video games.
No, I mean, like, what? Are we expecting to see Mustafa Grand Theft Auto or what?
No, well, Mario had more than one game.
Well, that's what I mean.
He's like the game pimp.
He totally is. But Mustafa didn't have any big games.
No, he didn't.
He just had cunty parents.
So good you have to name him twice.
Exactly. Cookie.
No, Ryan.
No, I'm Ryan, your Cookie. We've had this talk. Did you take your medication?
Oh, and I was hoping you were going to chat me up again.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because I was going to ask you, how would you approach someone in a bar? Or even better still, how would you approach, or how would... you feel if somebody approached you in a bar. That wasn't me.
If they were very direct and blunt and coming up to me like a drunken slob...
You'd be there.
Well, no. No, particularly if I wasn't interested in them, which I've had a few. So, yeah, no.
Well, what if they were Hottie McHot, but they were drunk as well?
I'd entertain the thought, yes.
You'd take advantage of them, you saucy minx.
If they were of able-bodied minded, yes.
AKA if they could get it up.
Yeah. If they're that pissed they can't get it up, then no, obviously not. No, I actually had a strange coincidence actually happen to me last night.
What was that?
I thought I saw somebody at the bar who I'd known, who I'd actually met at New Year's Eve last year. And I said, it's been about a year. And he didn't recognise who it was, and he was getting all paranoid because I was describing a situation that had nothing to do with him, because he was a completely different guy to who I was thinking was. He just looked very similar. So I thought, is that an acceptable way of trying to talk somebody up, making them out to be someone who you think they are, but then you may know they're not, and then starting a bit of a build-up? Or do you think that's a bit too tense?
No. That's so... If someone came up to me like, oh, remember this time, I'd be sitting there going, I need to find the quickest escape route. Great. Bar's full. I will just pretend to have a heart attack. Yeah, no. That's like probably one of the worst ways for me. Someone come up to me like, oh, do you remember this time? And we eventually work out that we don't know each other. I was just like, yeah, I need to go away.
Yeah. All right, so how would you do it?
How would you approach someone in a bar?
I've never done it. I'm too scared because I'm going to make a dick of myself. But, you know, I suppose you just go up and go, hey, how you doing? You try to be friendly and not too friendly with like a really big smile on your face that you look like you're going to eat them in a minute.
As much as you might like to.
Yeah.
What would you talk about though? Like, my biggest stumbling point is, okay, you say your hellos, how are you? Then what do you say? What?
How's your week been? But that's really tacky and boring, and everyone tries that line.
Well, that's right. So, you know, put some creative things that you might consider.
So, fisting.
So, would you rather fart blue smoke or sweat green sweat? Is that something that you would ask someone? Hypotheticals?
Or is that too cryptic? I'd find that too cryptic.
Do you fold or scrunch? You know, toilet paper?
Yeah, no, I got scrunch. It. I was like, oh, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. You're going somewhere with something. Please continue. And then you didn't.
You all looked at me like I was strange.
Sorry. No, we were looking at you because you were talking. That's what we do. Anyway.
Yes.
It's always rather scary when Ryan looks at you.
So you're not going to say hello to him next time you see him in a bar?
Or approach me?
Well, the only times I've really seen him out are at Club 80, and he's usually busy, you know.
Yeah, leaving because I've done everybody. So it's like, yeah. P.S. for all those people that are from out of state or overseas, Club 80 is a sex on site premises.
If you want to know where they are, a link is on our website, thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Yay, advertisement. No, I mean, like, I guess it's really hard to talk to anyone at a club. You've got to, I guess it depends on who the person is, and it's always different each time. But you just got to try to be friendly, but not too friendly.
I think probably the most important thing is, at the end of the conversation, is to say, would you like to do something? You know, do you want to catch up, or, you know, do you want to go for a walk or something, in the way that you end up with their number? Because then some people are more comfortable talking online or on the phone or something rather than actually in person. So it's kind of daunting. Like, for example, you were saying, Scott, that you would never approach someone in a bar. So if somebody said, hey, here's my MSN, let's chat or whatever, you might feel more comfortable in that circumstance.
Oh, I just don't have much self-esteem, so I can't exactly just walk up to someone and be like, hey. But I mean, at the same time, it depends where you are. If it's, let's say, the Laird, you know, you got music, but it's rather quiet. You can still hear each other speak. If you're at a nightclub with pumping music, you know, someone could be saying, you look really nice tonight, but what you hear is, God, you're ugly. You know, so it's much easier to talk to someone outside of a club. So, I don't know.
Do you think inviting them on the dance floor, if they're interested, would be a nice way to kind of see their body language?
I totally agree with that. I'm very big on the whole dancing thing. I mean, I personally don't have qualms or hang-ups about approaching someone in a bar. If I see someone, it'll take me a while to work up the courage to go talk to them, but you're guaranteed that I will actually go up and speak to them. And I will say, you know, hey, how you doing? Sorry, I was there and I thought you were really cute, so I thought I'd come over and say something. It's the worst I can do is say no. It's not a big deal. You just move on to the next hottie. Done.
So your approach is more give them a compliment and put them on the good foot before you engage in anything else?
It really depends. I mean, if, I don't know, maybe they might have an interesting clothing item or piece of jewelry that I'd want to strike up a conversation about. Maybe they were, I don't know, they had friends that were dicks, and I'd be like, wow, your friends are kind of lame. And they'd be like, yeah, totally, they're drunk. Yep, let's snog. I don't know. It really depends on the circumstance. I don't have I'm not like Jack, where I just go like, hey, I'm Fred Flintstone and I can make your bedrock sort of situation. Yeah, Lamy McLean.
Well, I mean, if you take them to the dance floor, then, you know, it's a way of, if they are interested, you can grab a bit here and there without it seeming like you're trying to go for grabs. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm dancing around, my hand accidentally touched your ass. If they're like, oh, that's okay, then, you know, you're like, ace, I'm in. But if your hand accidentally touches their ass and they're like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Get your hands off me, I'm not a piece of meat. Then you know that they're not probably going to be interested in you.
But I think that if they accepted your invitation to go on the dance floor, they probably are interested. So I doubt that they would reject your hand on the ass.
Well, if not interested, curious. And what I'd like to ask is, all right, maybe not hand on the ass, but what about just basic eye contact? If they're not keeping a fairly constant level of eye contact with you, do you think they're really interested, or is that just a way of dancing?
It depends. Like, it could be some people that find if you're, you know, looking into their eyes continuously for a while, they might think you're a bit psychotic. If you keep, you know, you keep that eye contact too long, it makes people uncomfortable.
I agree. I get really paranoid when I see someone and then, you know, we look at each other and I get to this whole, you know, we look at each other, then you look away, and then you look at each other again, you look away, and yet still, I mean, you're not interested, but you're like, are they keen, or are they just looking because I keep looking, or, you know, do I have something hanging out of my nose, or do I look like someone they know? I start asking myself all these questions. If they're hot, I don't care. I'd go up and be like, so, my face is like, you know, a really good seat for you to sit on. Probably not as forward as that, but, you know, you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
Well, I've always had that, like, go to a club and someone, you're just kind of passing by and someone looks at you and someone, you know, you catch that moment, kind of like what you're talking about. And then you kind of, you'll keep looking around and you keep getting the eye contact and it's like, oh crap, I don't really find them attractive. But it keeps happening. You're like, oh shit, I hope they don't come and talk to me, because you happen to keep having accidental eye contact.
And then
they start walking towards the bar and you're like, oh shit, I've just got to go to the toilet, and you run.
Yeah, but maybe they think, oh god, this guy's keen. So I'm going, I'll follow him to the toilet. Your plan backfired.
Yes, my plan backfired. I told you, I'm not really good at that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what we're here for.
So what do we recommend to wrap this up? What should our listeners do to approach somebody at a bar?
Be friendly. Just go, hey, how you doing? Maybe give them a compliment. Say, oh, you know, that shirt looks awesome. Or, man, I wish I could get my hair like that. Maybe not so lame like that.
Yeah, in case they're bald or something.
Yeah, if they're bald, better off not saying your hair is awesome.
Mm. Unless you're talking about, like, their chest hair because they're not wearing a shirt, maybe. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, invite them for a dance. And then maybe do what Ryan says and ask them to go for a walk one day. Because that's so cool.
Well, not like a walk as in, like, you know, like karaoke video clip where you see the random couple feeding ducks. I mean, like, so let's go somewhere more quiet where we can talk kind of thing. Yourself, Cookie, advice for our listeners?
I'm liking your ideas so far. I don't think I can really add to it. It's pretty much there. You strike up a conversation based on perhaps what attracted them to you to try and get some bit of a rapport going if you can talk. Take it to the dance floor if you can't really talk, to get an idea of their body language. And then if the interest is there, keep pushing on to get to them away and isolated so you can kind of be a bit more personal and intimate about conversation. And of course, if all else fails, you just kind of, yeah, walk off and keep going.
Ask if they have a friend or a brother.
Or a twin brother.
No.
I dated a twin once.
What do you get somebody who you don't know what to get?
Not a gift voucher. Gift vouchers are so just unthoughtful.
Unless the person who you're getting for has asked specifically for gift vouchers, like me, I don't ask for much but gift vouchers because it's like, well, what I want I can't tell you because I don't even know. So maybe like 5 months down the track I'll find something that I like and it's like, well, there you go, pays for it.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, if you're going to give a gift voucher or money, you kind of got to make it worthwhile. There, a friend had a big 25th a couple of weeks ago, and their closest friends, like that's about 7 of them, they chucked in money, you know, give her a good present. And they chucked in like $5 or $10 each. So she ended up getting about $60 off 7 friends. It's pretty poor effort. Pretty poor effort. So, you know, you got to try to do something a bit different with Christmas.
So what's an acceptable amount for an all-in gift presents? How much would you consider acceptable to put in?
Well, I mean, like, if you're buying a close friend a present, you know, at least $40 or $50. Like, my closest friend Sarah, I would not spend anything less than $50 on her. Like, she's just awesome and I love her, so of course I'd get her something cool. I mean, you've got to be somewhat close to a friend to buy them Christmas presents. So, you don't want to cheap out, but if you really care for someone, you know, you spend a bit of money. And in case they don't like it, always keep a receipt or ask them what they want.
Do you think it's tacky if you received a crappy present? Do you ask for the receipt?
Yes, but no. Like, a couple of Christmases ago, my relatives, my two aunties, thought they were being really cool. They went to JJ's and brought me 2 t-shirts. They were pink. And I opened them up and I've just gone, no, I don't wear pink. They're like, oh, we thought you'd like it. I'm like, it's pink.
But you're gay.
Like, they're like, oh, so do you want us to take it back and get you another one? I'm like, yeah, that would be cool. And they were offended, but I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I don't like pink. You should have asked me before buying me clothes.
I think it's...
Clothes are a bad idea for Christmas presents.
Unless you know exactly the person's style.
Yeah.
I think it's not acceptable to ask for a Christmas present receipt if you just don't like it. Get them to go back and kind of change it or get them to kind of work with you in getting another one because it, again, keeps them involved. I think it is reasonable to ask for the receipt if you've already got it and the person has just went out and bought you a double without realizing it. I think then it's acceptable to say, well, I appreciate the gift, but I've already got it. So I'll go get something and like exchange it or something. So yeah, I think it's acceptable then. But yeah, I'd say getting just because you don't like it doesn't mean you shouldn't show that you at least appreciate the effort they've gone to. Whether you will use it or not, it's another thing. That's then, again, another kettle of fish, which you can either work out with them or get them just to go back and get something else. But I think you have to at least show that you appreciate the effort.
I think if it's family or very, very close friends, I think that it's okay because you've got that certain bond with them.
And a level of respect, yeah.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if it was some, I don't know, random office worker that bought you a Kris Kringle present and you're like, yay, Donny Osmond's greatest Christmas hits. Thank you. I needed a coaster. that would be kind of lame. But yeah, I kind of agree.
So in the same boat of lame presents type stuff, unless you like something from where your friend works, I really do hate it when someone's like, oh, I got you this. And it's like, okay, it came from your shop. You've evidently got like a massive staff discount. Unless, you know, I really do want a fantastic CD, like Ryan just said, from a really lame-o shop, then it's you know, where's the thought in that? It's like, oh, I've got to get them something. I've got a staff discount, I'll just get them this. It's like, you know, it's the thought that counts in the end. And, you know, if you're getting something like that, how much thought's put into something like that? Not much. Not much at all.
So do you think that gift vouchers are an unacceptable present?
For a close friend who doesn't ask for one? Probably. Because if you're that close to someone, then you know what they like, you know what they have, you know what they don't have. Or you do not so subtle hints, like with my friend Sarah. I'm like, you don't have Gumby DVDs yet, do you? She's like, oh, no. I'm like, okay, keep it that way. And I'm going to
That's really subtle.
Yeah. Totally subtle.
I'm getting you Gumby for Christmas. Don't buy it. Completely subtle.
Well, I didn't say anything about a surprise gift.
Oh, true, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. Alrighty.
What about work Christmas do's? You know, 'tis the season to be jolly, so we're out partying a lot and everything, and of course, it's inevitable, the work Christmas function. Cookie.
Yes.
If you had a significant other, would you bring him along?
This day and age, yes. I asked me that a couple of years ago, and I said no, because it all depends on how close and how respected you are within your work colleagues, and whether you're out or not, as to whether you bring your partner. If it's like a closed barbecue, then obviously not. But if there's room for a partner, I don't see why not. Some people bring their wives, family members. So if you know you just bring your partner, not necessarily make it obvious that you're partners if you're not really comfortable with that. But I think the invitation should be there for your partner. Whether they choose to follow through with it or not, it's another thing.
What about you, Spotty? Would you...
It depends.
Drink some fucking water, bitch. Crying out loud.
Blow me, bitch.
When?
No.
Oh my. No, I mean, it depends. Like, with my work Christmas party, which is tomorrow night, you are allowed to bring partners, but I guess it would depend on, like, what my partner's like. He may be one of those big drinkers that just gets fucking annoying. Would I take him out to a big Christmas do with all my bosses and stuff there? Probably not. If it was a Christmas party with just the res staff, yeah, probably. Get drunk, have lots of fun. But it depends on where you work and what type of attitude they have and what type of attitude your partner has. Some partners may be very obnoxious, so you won't take them to somewhere where there's lots of suits and ties. You don't want to offend someone, considering this is your job and your livelihood. So, you know, I wouldn't take Ryan to my Christmas party. I want to keep my job, at least until February when I move.
Yeah, we can't wait to get rid of you. Spotty's going to Sydney, everybody. So all the Sydney listeners up there, when you see Scotty, just ignore him.
Most people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can see why.
Yeah. Can you tell your mum that she left her watch at my place?
Yep. Oh, by the way, I'm wearing your mum's underwear. So yeah, if you want it back, just...
They look better on you.
True. I know.
I love you, Ryan.
I love you too.
I'd love to know where you've actually got them wearing them, because apparently you don't wear underwear. So.
No. Was it a bra?
He's got to keep his boobs up.
Yeah, totally.
Otherwise, awesome they turn into knee pillows. Anyway.
On a completely different tangent, you know what? I am bringing a guy as my date to my work function, so...
I know, and I thank you very much for the invitation.
The guy... Yes. It's being held at the basement at Club 80. I'll see you there. Or not. That would be cool, too. No, I seriously am. The gentleman that I'm dating, I'm bringing him to my work Christmas function, and he's really looking forward to it, and it'll be the first time I'm actually bringing a bloke. But as you say, it's this day and age where, you know, gays are no longer a punchline, or we're no longer a stereotype, so I think it's perfectly acceptable to be seen in public holding hands and doing stuff now.
So evidently you haven't been to Commercial Road lately. They're still stereotyped.
Yeah, I don't go there. There's no reason why I would.
For those outside of Melbourne, Commercial Road is the equivalent of Sydney's Oxford Street, otherwise better known as the Gay Strip.
Yeah.
Except Commercial Road's a bit more glitter and...
It's a bit camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit glitter ball-esque, a bit Kylie Madonna sort of... But no, I don't think for any reason. I think that it's if you, for example, if you're in a homophobic industry and you could possibly be ostracized for it or something like that, I think it's probably something that you would really need to speak to maybe your boss or your HR representative or whatever. But other than that, I don't understand what the big problem would be. Stand up and be proud, I say, at work. Or quit.
Well, it's ironic you say that, because on the day of recording, we're only one day behind Gay for a Day, which was the whole idea of you call in sick for the day, claiming that I'm sick because I'm gay.
How come I only just found out about this?
Because it's mostly an American thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
but
on a different tangent, I don't particularly agree with that. Kind of,
you're taking advantage.
Yeah. It's like the lesbian moms who have their kids with both partners and they're getting single mother benefits and they want gay marriage and all this stuff, but they don't want to give up that type of thing. You know, the way they can cheat the system. You either deal with it or you shut the hell up.
I kind of agree. I mean, I'd crack the shits if every heterosexual person called in sick because they were straight. I think it's a funny novelty, but as a reality, it's kind of lame.
Well, the instigator for this particular action was a reaction to Proposition 8 in saying that, you know, if we're not equal, then why can't we call in sick? Because gay, you're basically saying gay is supposedly a disease. That was the whole really...
They're taking advantage of it, though.
Yeah, that's right. It was,
you know,
taken to extremes.
The churches say it's a disease, not particularly the people that... It wasn't not everyone that opposed it said it was a disease, and I think it's just taking advantage of it, and it makes us look like whiny little brats. I can't get what I want, so I'm going to pretend that I'm gay and call in sick. It's like, well, no, you should stand up and say, I'm going to keep working because I want to show you I'm just a normal person.
And that's exactly how I approached my company in particular. Other companies, I may have taken that juvenile stance once upon a time, but this particular company I'm with has embraced the fact that I'm gay and they don't give a crap. And that's what I really love about where I am now. And I don't think I could look back on any other company and say, well, look at what these guys are doing and you match it. So in days gone by, I'd probably agree with the Gay for a Day, but you know, where I am now, it's proven that there are people out there that really don't give a crap. And so where were we heading with this?
So at the Cubby House, two thumbs up. We agree. We should bring a partner.
Yes.
Yep.
1.5 thumbs up, one
depends
half
on the situation.
Exactly, and that is basically situation dictation.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, if you're a truck driver, you're not going to take your partner to a Christmas do. Truck drivers are generally homophobic. Then again, they're the ones that use the beats more often. But anyway.
And they're the biggest piggy bottoms that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know you're listening, truckers. We see you. You like that, don't you?
Cookie feels you.
Or wants to.
Shout-outs. Who are we going to say shout-outs to, apart from all the truck drivers that are listening to the podcast?
I want to do a little shout-out to a friend of mine. Gus, I know that you've just started listening. He's in LA.
Hello, Gus. Thank you for listening.
Gorgeous little cubby is, little Mexican cubby, so cute. So thank you guys for listening in. And a big shout out to Mikey from Sydney, who's actually currently in America right now. So hope you're enjoying your trip.
Do we know where he's?
He's in America.
Yeah, do we know which parts of America? It's a big place.
He's in the American parts. I have no idea.
Okay. Spotty, do you want to say a shout out to anybody while you've got the microphone in front of you? And nobody that's annoyed you.
Well, then I better just shut my mouth and just say hola and thank you and yo.
Wow, words of wisdom.
Yes. I'd like to say a big shout out to Dan and Joe. I think there's been a lot, and Mike, there's been a lot of things happen this week, and just wanted to acknowledge the effort that you guys have gone through. Can't exactly go into details, but just wanted to say a big shout out and thank you very much. We wouldn't be anywhere without you guys at this stage.
For all those people out there in listening land, Joe is my housemate, Dan is his boyfriend, and Mike is a very good friend of ours. Yes. And also, not forgetting, a big shout out to Jack.
How could we forget our good podcast buddy, Jack? We miss you. We do.
But stay in Tasmania.
We'll keep in contact over Skype.
We love you long time.
Yes.
Keep knitting.
Knit a boat.
Knit an arc.
Yes. So, from the Cubby House of the second week of December, this is Cookie.
This is Ryan.
And Spuddy.
Catch you next week.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.